to 1 Corinthians. And truly, I must confess that he never ceases to overwhelm me. I just am so thankful for his word. It's just, it's hard to constrain sometimes, just his greatness and, oh, his love towards us, brothers and sisters. I just pray that we so let him speak to us, always, and especially at this moment that we have in him. Now, we left off in the first chapter, the 17th verse. We read through the 17th verse, and we were given that wonderful announcement that it's all in his name. The power, the deity. And again, I was just rejoicing with a brother and sister this afternoon and tell him again how amazed, and I should never, in a sense, be amazed, but I can never cease to be amazed how perfect God is in his plan, in his dealings with us, and how he leads us when by his grace we yield to him. And I honestly will tell you before the Lord, I do no planning. Maybe you could say, well, it's evident in your study. But I do no planning really with where God leads and where he wants to take us. And I was thinking how, but prior to this 1 Corinthians study, how God had brought to me the thought of studying the really the deity of his word, the sovereignty of his word, and how blessed again, and how he has kept that word, and he protects the word, and everything's in the word. And as we started Corinthians, again, just his perfect and complete will, I believe it's being bestowed upon us by faith, not by anything that we've done, not by anything we could merit, but just by believing him. That's our life before him, brothers and sisters, and it's a precious thing, but I'm going to tell you, I just was so thankful for that study that we had. I want to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that's what this is about. And I'll tell you what, anything that I can apply and put into my life, which I know is the Word of God, but as His Word can be so many different ways translated, the one that magnifies it the most, I believe, is the one that we utilize here. And I think it's evident in this King James. And I'm thankful for that in this meeting. All right. Picking it back up in the 17th verse. For Christ sent me not to baptize, this is Brother Paul speaking, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And again, I appreciate this reminding me there's nothing that I could ever add to it. If I try to bring my wisdom into this study, into this ministry, into this pulpit, it would only diminish what Christ has already done. Timothy, preach the word. Brothers and sisters, preach the word. Get into the word of God. Believe it. That is truly what this is about. Don't try to get into your own mind, into your own wisdom, into your own goodness. Try to fathom all of the wonderful philosophies that you think you can bring about and add to this wonderful word of God, because all you'll do is get yourself into knots and twists, and then you'll start to become tossed to and fro because the winds of doctrine might even be your own. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been accustomed to some that have done that, and that's something I'm going to tell you, God protect us from it. Protect us from ourselves. All right, going into verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, this is so wonderful because we see here that God chose the cross. It was the only way for Christ. It had to be that way. There was no other way it could be. And it had to be that way and has to be that way for man. So the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now again, we have to remember who Paul is writing this letter to is these Greeks, these ones that were cerebral types. They were very much into their philosophies. They were the Aristotles. They were the Socrates. They had all of that knowledge that had been passed down from years and years and years. And you think of our society and who we esteem today, we esteem those thinkers. I think the Rodin, was he the thinker, that one that was like this? I think the thinker's like this, but that's a whole different one. But praise be to God. I want to have the mind of Christ. But you'll see here he starts out and says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, it is to them. That means now. Because I'll tell you what, when they perish, it ain't going to be foolishness anymore. They're going to know. And that's the urgency again to be a light unto this world. Not getting it all into the Great Commission, but I do want to shed the light of God. I do want to share that with others. I do want to be effectually used by Christ to give out His Word and to help men to be saved. He that wins souls is wise. And it's true. And I, by the grace of God, want to give out that Word to people. And there is going to come a day of reckoning. It will happen. There's ones that laugh. There's ones that scoff. There's ones that do a lot of different things. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're in trouble. And someday, that foolishness is going to be hitting home. And you don't want to have anybody come to that point. But unfortunately, there's going to be quite a few. But unto us, that's the part I like, which are saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? The power of God unto salvation. See, this is divine grace. And see, divine grace really sets in and we understand this message here, because this is when we finally understand that we are completely worthless, that we are completely sinful, but apart from God. He is the sufficiency. He is the confidence. This is set up so simply that there is nothing I can bring. All I can do is say, Lord, I believe. It's your work. It's your doing. I am your workmanship. Cause me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help me get rid of this thing that will keep me from going on with you. And for those of you who can't see me on these tapes, I'm pointing to my mind. I need to get rid of that. Some people say, what did you say there, brother? Wednesday nights, I can't see you. But I think you know in spirit what I'm talking about. We need to remove ourselves and start believing the Word of God. Because that's the life that we live. That's who we are. By His grace, we are of Him. So thank Jesus for that. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And you'll read that back in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. But He's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And I appreciate Paul's boldness because, you know, Paul tells it how it is. He's not withholding anything. It's just like he told Timothy there to preach the word. Reprove, exhort, rebuke with all longsuffering. And he said, get in there. Do the work of an evangelist. By the grace of God, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of that. I'm telling you, sometimes I know in my life I've felt embarrassed at times. I was shy. I thought, well, if I say anything, oh my, it's just going to cause trouble. And I knew at that moment that the Spirit was leading me. I'm telling you, when you start to feel like that, I encourage you to yield to the Spirit, because that's just the enemy coming upon you to try to keep you quiet. And that's the truth. I think that's a very good barometer. You start to feel ashamed. You think, oh, this could really cause something here. Oh, get into the Spirit. Let Him give you utterance and knowledge. Let Him give you truth and love and speak freely the things that He would put upon your heart. And I'm not saying into, you know, trying to cause strife, but honestly giving out the pure Word of God. So again, He says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And again, these Greeks, they highly esteemed this wisdom, and yet they thought it was foolishness, this thing about the cross, because it was something too simple, it was something too archaic, it was something that wasn't new enough for them, it wasn't inventive enough for them. Do you see how similar man has been throughout the ages? Again, we spoke about it the other day. That dog that returns to his own vomit. Man does the same thing over and over and over. There isn't anything new under the sun that man's done. There really isn't. Don't think that we're so creative. I'm telling you, don't get there. God will show you. And I know He loves you, and He'll chasten you till you believe it. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And I was thinking again how He's already done that. It's not that He's going to do that in finality, which He will, but He does that all the time. I think of the foolishness in this evolution stuff. I've always thought that that is just so foolish. What an insult to think that this incredible, and not just speaking of me, but this human body, and how amazing it is, and how multifaceted it is, and how complete and wonderfully made this body is. And to think that from, as Brother Hill used to say, a speck of jelly that flipped up from the water and crawled along and grew a tail and did this. What a dummy. And I just say that very, very clearly stated. What an idiot. That it wasn't divine. You have to be just really. It is the wisdom of man is foolishness. How to think that these things just happened. This universe was just accidentally shot into existence from a bang. And I know we used to argue, well, what caused the little speck that caused the bang, that caused this? And, you know, I'm not even going to go there with it. That's just my stupidity trying to follow that. I'm not kidding you. It is what it is. Just believe, experience, and enjoy the beauty of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. It's amazing. I mean, every time, whether Pluto's a planet or not a planet, isn't that great? They're going to dispute that. Oh, my. And then I think about one of the beautiful things about the Word of God, and the Word already spoke about this, how He does increase at an increasing rate. Oh, but for years we were always told by physics, everything increases at a decreasing rate. We get older, we slow down. If I put something in motion, it's going to stay in motion, but it's eventually going to decrease in motion at speed. But they found that this whole universe is increasing at an increasing rate. And they don't understand it. They can't figure out why. It's against all physics, all nature, all of these different things. They just don't know God, do they? See, I'm just limited by this right now in this physical body just because I'm here. But I'm telling you, someday He's going to completely set and make me free. I'm going to defy everything by the grace of God. And in a way, I'm defying things right now. Praise God. And I think you know as you go into the Scriptures, you'll understand what I'm saying. All right. But God made foolish the wisdom of this world. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it's amazing. You know, God said He would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of this truth. And it's so wonderful that He did that, that He's not a respecter of persons. But then again, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And we're going to read about this by His grace later on, about this wisdom, the very plan of God. See, a lot of people try to study this as literature. They try to study this, unfortunately, in so many of the seminaries, we're going to go at this as literature, as philosophy, as a lot of different things, as opposed to saying, hey, I understand this needs to be spiritually discerned if I'm ever going to understand it. That's what the Word of God tells you. This has to be spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot receive these things. He cannot do it. It has to be the Spirit of God that reveals these things to him. To you. I hope you know we're speaking to you. You can't just go home and say, well, Lord, I'm going to learn this. I have to pray. I have to believe. By the grace of God, I open my life. By the grace of God, I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit as well, too. Big thing. Ask those disciples. Ask Brother Paul. I'm going to tell you, there's a need for it. A great need. All truth is a big thing. Praise His name. All right. But after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. I think of what the world throws our way. Every time I turn on the TV, I get so disappointed. And I wonder why I turn it on. But I think of what the world throws at us that they believe is their wisdom. I look at Hollywood. And I'm telling you, they bring out their opinions very highly, very greatly. All the different things. I think of our politicians. Have you ever listened to a Senate hearing? When the Congress gets together, you'd be embarrassed. I elected that? I'm just teasing you. God puts up whom He will and down whom He will. But I'm going to tell you, it's just magnifying. I'm telling you, you listen to that stuff, it's just magnifying it. By the grace of God, I really believe anything good in America is there's a certain sect of people that are still praying, that are still believing God, that are still encouraged to go out and to pray for things and to live a life by the grace of God that's under the hand of God. I'm not saying fully, but I'm going to tell you, just the faith, the grain, the size of a mustard seed, it moves a mountain, doesn't it? Be thankful for brothers and sisters that love the Lord. Okay? Again, I'm just so thankful how God has kept us and continues to keep us. All right. But here we go in the 21st verse. It says, it pleased God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And what pleases God? It's impossible to please God without faith. Isn't that right? So it pleased Him. So I know this has to do with faith already, right when He's out the gate here, telling it something that it pleased Him, because it had to have faith. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Okay, to save them that believe. Now preaching what? Let's go back and what did we read in the 17th verse? Preach the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Praise His name. Now we know this, but again, He's just really laying the foundation here and understanding this is what pleases God is faith in His gospel. It's faith in His Son. And that pleases Him. And by the foolishness of this preaching to save them that believe. Now, do you believe that God believes that His gospel or the preaching of His gospel is foolishness? No. But He's saying it is to man. You tell your friends, and I'm sure some of you don't, and I hope you get some boldness tomorrow. Well, where were you last night? Bible study? Amen. And I know most of you don't have anything to hold back on that. But I'm sure what they're thinking, boy, I must really not know Him. He must do a lot of bad things to go to church that often, huh? Isn't that what they think most of the time? Huh? Say, oh, praise God. I just go to get richer every single time. Just to fill me up. Praise His name. To get to another glory. But see, that's what God does, is He's chosen this. They believe it's foolishness. They think you're wasting your time going on a Sunday morning to church. How many people just say, well, that's my time off. That's my time. A lot of people try to justify it, say, oh, well, that's my time with my kids. What greater time that could you have with your children than bringing them to church? I'm telling you, get with it, brothers and sisters. We need to get with it, don't we? Even more so into the things of God, to know that this preaching is to us, oh, that believe. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 22. For the Jews require... Oh, actually, I wanted to finish up just a thought on that. But God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And again, we need to get rid of ourselves. I just want to mention that one last time. To really know that by His grace, we need to move on, move out of ourselves, move out of any of these, sensitivities that we have, embarrassments that we have, and understand that the boldness of God needs to be brought into our lives. All right, now going on to verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, I want to talk about this sign a little bit. See, the Jews, I believe, couldn't get over this Jesus that came. As He said, I came into my own, and my own received me not. They didn't receive me. They didn't want me. Turn to the Gentiles. Praise God, there was a plan in that. But see, I believe that these Jews, they expected an exalted prince, didn't they? They wanted something highly esteemed. They wanted something that was going to be born in a palace, not in a lowly manger, not someone that was undesirable, not someone that was maybe common or maybe even uncommon. There, it said that there's nothing of Him his visage. I'm not saying His visage. I'm not saying this right. But basically, of His looks, that we would be drawn to Him. That He wasn't necessarily a beautiful person. That He was very comely. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the thing that we need to be drawn to Christ with is His Word, is the love of God, is the Lamb. That love, that undying love that's for us, that is what we need to be drawn after by the grace of God. And yet again, how many times do we see these portraits? And Brother Hill used to bring it out very many times. If you took off the hair and you took off, I actually leave the hair on, but take off the mustache and the beard, you'd probably have a beautiful woman at that time. And that's what they think that Jesus Christ looked at. There's nothing that we would desire of that. Uh-uh. It has to be the Word of God that we're drawn after, that wonderful truth that brings us on with Him. But again, it says that the Jews require this sign. And in completing this thought, I'm certain that they didn't want to see their prince be crucified upon that cross. Maybe beneath them. You think about how people are. The one that triumphs in this world, we think of, is on that white horse, not on the donkey. Right? The one that just defeats all of his foes and actually lives in life and stands over them. But this was the one that came that defeated all in death. Isn't that something? So you got to know the story. You got to believe the story. That was the only way that he could defeat that. That was the only way that it would ever be finished. Is it had to be the way of the cross. Praise his name. And we rejoice and we glory. And it is in that cross. Now, goes on to say that the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, we've touched upon that. This word has touched upon that many times. And again, understand this, that God is bringing this up many times because He understands how quickly we want to get and to think that we're something in our minds. How many times over and over in the Word of God it talks about our vain deceit, our philosophies, our vain imaginations, all of these different things that we can be puffed up so very quickly because we really think we're something when we're nothing. And once we get to that point and understand, we always need to see the tents of Kedar, as that wonderful scripture tells us. We always need to understand, Lord, I need to be abased. It's called humility, brothers and sisters. And that's one thing that the Word of God tells us. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself. Understand that I'm nothing but of you, Lord Jesus. Understand that, Lord, there's nothing again that I could merit. There's nothing that I should have received. This is divine grace. It's divine grace. And that's the foolishness to man. They can't grasp it. They can't get it. And you and I will never get it. We'll never go on if I ever think that there's something that I could actually merit or receive. From my brain, from my actions, from anything that I could bring. It has to be all in Him. And as I know God and as I think of God, to me, getting into this plan, it makes sense. It really does. Why would I want any of this humanness brought in there? I know it's all it could do is imperfect anything anyways. I know where humans can go. I believe what Romans 1 tells me. When I quit giving glory to God and when I quit being thankful, oh, how low we can sink and how quickly we can go there. Because the enemy, if he's going to lead you, I'm going to tell you, he'll lead you as far down as he can take you. Okay? But this is why we need and are such a dependent, creation with our Creator. All right. Verse 23. But we preach, praise God, Christ crucified. All right, remember the death, the power in the resurrection, the cross. And how often, again, Christianity anymore, you don't see the cross, do you? Don't see it very often. It's kind of going away. But again, it's not something that we wear outside anyways. It's something that we treasure within, that it is the cross. It's the crucifixion, praise God. We understand that. But it says, unto the Jews a stumbling block. And I want to stop here for just a moment and really understand the stumbling block. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's talk about this stumbling block. And we'll go to verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. See, we're living stones. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's got to go through Him. Praise His name in Him. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. See, your mind somewhat confounded or mixed up, just believe in him and he makes it right. Praise God, he'll be all wisdom to you. We'll read about that. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. There's a lot of words there, and instead of me explaining it to you, I'm going to let the Word of God do it. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. Actually, we'll go back to 31. That's Romans chapter 9, verse 31. It says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, and we can see how simple that is. That stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. It's His Word. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And isn't that interesting that they call it an offense, and it is offensive to them that don't believe in the grace of God, that don't have the liberty that we have. They stumble at their self-righteousness. They stumble at their self-works. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Praise God. And that is that stumbling stone. That is that stumbling block that these Jews will always come over. And again, you see that he brings out, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness, the Word of God says here. See, there's ones that actually laugh at Christians. There's ones that basically think that you're a mental midget. There's something wrong with you. You're a very lowly person. You must not be able to figure things out. Well, praise God, I guess I am. And I'm going to let Him do it. And that's just fine with me. And you know what? And I have peace. And I already know that it is figured out for me. I already know that the plan is already laid out. I already know and believe that the path is set. It's set there. I apply myself by the grace of God. I yield to Him. I get up in the morning by the grace of God. I say, Lord, what do you have for me today? I want to believe you. I want by faith. I want to walk in it. I want you to be my strength today. You told me you would. You told me you would. You'll be my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification and redemption. Isn't that wonderful? Every single bit of life you are to me. You are my life. And my life is in your hands. Now I ask us, what do we have to worry about? I want peace. I want to rest in Him. I don't need this mind to be trapped in chaos. I don't need it to be fretful and what's going to be with this, or what am I going to do tomorrow, or how am I going to figure out this. Lord, you're the ability. You are the ability. I pray that, you know, God give me the ability. You understand that. But I want to even move on to say, Lord, you are the ability. Move in me. Direct it. Take care of it. I was even talking to somebody who says, he was talking about something. I said, well, I even pray after the fact. And they looked at me. You mean after an event is done, do you pray for that? Absolutely. What's time to God? I believe God can still work. I still believe God can work in things that happened yesterday. Didn't understand that. I said, well, that's all believing God. I believe Him that He does all things well. I believe and entrust Him. He said all things, everything. Prayer, believing, praise His name. All right, 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. See, there's no difference there. It's Jews and Greeks. It's all of us. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Turn with me to Romans 13:2. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Actually, we'll back up to 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Again, I had to remind this man that doesn't know the Lord is his Savior that all things consist and all things hold together because of Him. Even you. I said, do you realize that you could just scatter right in my presence if God didn't hold you together? Kind of scared him a little bit. But I said, it's true. I said, it's all holding together. He made everything. Without Him, nothing was made. Even those evil ones for that day. Hell itself. All of those things. God's got a plan for it. God's got a plan. Now that makes me rest. Praise God. I know He's got it. Hallelujah. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power. And what did we just read that the power was? Christ is the power of God. So whosoever resists Christ resists the ordinance. And this word ordinance here in chapter 13 verse 2, it means justification. It's not in a sense this law. It's called justification. And that is it. You must be justified. And the only way you're ever going to be justified is through the blood of the Lamb. Through the cross. It's got to be the cross. You have to go back to that cross. I have to believe that He died upon that cross. And that's the justification. That is the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's the power of your God. And that is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is His Son, the plan of His Son, that everything's in His Son. That He could redeem me and you. That is the wisdom of God. Okay. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And I think this is kind of interesting here. God, again, is just reminding us that even if I did have any foolishness, which I'm sure He doesn't, it would be wiser than your greatest intelligence. And even if I had a weakness, and I know He doesn't, if there's only any weakness He has, it's His love for me that He puts up with me, but that's His strength and power, praise God. But that His weakness of God is stronger than men. So again, you have somebody that's against you. You have people, and there's been times in my life that I fretted a bit. I thought that man was awfully powerful in some situations and circumstances, and I'll tell you, I felt very helpless. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how, Lord, You can deliver me from this. These are some powerful people. This is a powerful presence. Well, I just had to read out over there, there's no power but of God. I guess that settles it. You know what I'm saying? You've been there. You've been at the time of, oh, there's no way out. And yet, there was the one that always makes a way of escape. Isn't that a wonderful place? Now, I have to admit, it was really nice seeing the way of escape. It really was, let's be honest. But at the same time, wasn't it glorious? Hallelujah. And Lord, increase our faith that as He's got us in there, that we rejoice. See, that's what Brother Paul and what God had encouraged in his life, to rejoice in that, that when I'm weak, I'm made strong, the very power of Christ Jesus resting upon me. That's amazing, isn't it? That's a rest. And that's a rest that can be in anything. And Paul even said, and magnifying even when I'm in that fiery trial. That's when that rest is truly upon me, the power of God resting upon me. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on to verse 26. For ye see your calling. And again, just even these little words, I don't mean to pick it apart, but I think that they just mean so much. And again, just overwhelmed by His love. You have to have a vision. You have to have a vision. For the calling, you have to see it. Praise God. There is a vision, and the vision is in faith. It's not something my eyes can see. It's not something that I feel in my body. I just believe it. And I'm telling you, it is more real. And you know, as God draws you into it, it's more real than you looking at me right now. My forever, I'm seated in the heavens with Christ Jesus right now. Right now, I see that. I have a vision for that. That's real. That is my resting place. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. But that we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Again, the sheep hear his voice. There's a calling there, brothers and sisters. And God doesn't forsake that. He doesn't forsake his people. That calling is to us 24/7. It's there. He's calling us. He's wooing us in love. And there's not many wise. And we see that. There's not many mighty. I remember, again, dealing with many in the business world. They didn't want to have a thing to do with the Lord. As wealth and riches increased, further and further distance from anything of God. All about me. Oh, it was a treasure to meet people that had means, though, that loved the Lord. Didn't meet very many, but it's a precious thing. See, God said here, he said, not many. See, he would have been a respecter of persons if it was an exclusive club. Yep. Now, I want to make mention of this too. Now, the love of money is the root of all evil, isn't it now? Well, I've seen poor love money just as much or more as rich. Think? I'm telling you, it's the truth. And it motivates them, just like it might motivate a rich person, away from the things of God. Didn't matter how it motivated, but it was the love of that. It was something that they were going after. See, I want to go after God. And he says, and my riches will increase in him. Talked to a man today on the phone. He was giving me all these stories. And I said, well, the Bible tells me that his children, they're not left begging bread. Well, I'm a child of God. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, then I'd start believing it. I'd believe him for it. He promised me. He promised me. And then there was a tenderness starting to work there. You could see that there was an anger. He says, you're just going to give me the word of God. And I said, seek the loaves, brother. I feed on that. I'm never going to hunger again. Huh? I'm not being facetious with that person. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Preach the word. Preach the word. Absolutely. I said, you come on in here. We'll help you out. Mostly spiritually. But I'm sure that out of the goodness of the Lord, we can help you as well too. So we'll see. There's always an invite. But we want you to come down and sup first. On the real food, the everlasting. And then we'll talk about the other later. But a lot of times I see the Lord even allowing them to forget that and trust him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise his name. All right. So we're going to go after the sheep's voice by his grace, because that's who's calling us. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He did that from day one. It was wonderful. He did that in Abraham. He did that in selecting the Jewish nation. Isn't that wonderful? That little group. Peculiar, huh? Yeah, rascals. One's always getting in trouble. There you go. Moses, I love that. There he was. He had all the right to hang in that kingdom. But God convicted him. Wasn't that wonderful? He said, oh no, I'm going to serve the Lord. And he went out there and then he came back. And he came back and he stood right before that old Pharaoh. Just him and, oh my, with his little rod. And there he stood, and he said, okay, you're going to have to let my people go. Now, God told me, I'm here to deliver them, and I'm just going to tell you, let my people go. Now, could you imagine what that Pharaoh thought? Could you imagine him walking back there, and they're laughing and hitting each other on the back, and, oh, yeah, we'll let you go. Sure. Why don't you go, you know, where you're going to, you know what he probably told him. A lot of different things. But in that, as he said, the foolish things. And they thought that was awful foolish at that time. I'm sure they did. How about the, again, the weak things? What about an Esther? Huh? Yeah. That was a weak thing. Praise God. And I'll give you half of my kingdom. That's where the weak wind up. What are we after? He made himself of no reputation. How often I hear people say, oh, but they don't recognize me. I don't get enough credit. I'm a woman and they treat me wrong in the workplace. I bet they don't accept me because of the color of my skin. I'm telling you, that's wrong. And shame on them. But do you believe God's for you? Do you believe God's for you? Come on now. I mean it. Do you believe that He perfects that which concerns you? Do you believe He made you the exact color that you need to be? The right exact sex that you need to be? Intelligence, physical characteristics. I believe He's down to the finest detail, to the very hair on my head. I was going to say, in my brother's case, the hair that he lost on his head, but I'm just teasing him. He knows. I'm just kidding. But He's in that too. Everything. Isn't that awesome? Every single thing. Now, if I know that, and I know that the sufferings of Christ, oh my, that I'm walking into the very glory of God. It's being bestowed to me. Happy are ye, He tells me. Rejoice in it, He tells me. But yet I'm sitting there saying, oh, it's unfair. Is that the spirit He wants me in? Pray for them. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, go take the high road. That's garbage. He is the high road. Let Him work in you to get you to a place where, you know what? It's not bothering me. I was talking to a sister the other day. Lots of stuff going on. Enemies sowing discord among brethren. People being caught into it. That tells me He's working. Devil start fighting this place, we got a problem. Really? Absolutely. I want him fighting. Tooth and nail. Does that mean I'm not sleepy? I'm awake. And if I'm awake and I'm looking, he's going to try to put me to sleep. Yeah, that's the truth. But see, I don't want to be about that. I don't have time. I want to be on the good report, the lovely, the pure, the true. All those good things by the grace of God? Yeah. Let's get on with it. Those weights, that sin that so easily besets us, that's just our lack of faith, isn't it? Talking about principle. Well, that wasn't right. I got to make this wrong right. I think the Word of God just said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, say the Lord. Tells me if I do good unto them, it's like pouring hot coals on their head. Fiery coals, Now, I'm not supposed to focus on the fiery coals, but there's a benefit in that. Because I know that He's working for me. Praise God. The Word, the weak things confound the things which are mighty. Some of the weakest things, again, we already spoke about, I think of His disciples. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't these ignorant men? Aren't they unlearned? How are they speaking like that? And in our language as well. Praise God. And then Jesus, oh hallelujah, crucified in weakness, but raised in power. Let's get into that power, brothers and sisters. Let's get in the resurrection power. Let's let that live in our lives. Let that be our life. Hallelujah, because it is. Okay, let's finish this up. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Oh, I love that. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. So here is telling me I need to seek the things that are not. Yep. I want to seek that are not, the things of no reputation. Just real quick, some of the thoughts that God was bringing to my heart was thinking about Martin Luther and how God, there was that lowly one in the Catholic Church, didn't really think about him at all, and God encouraged him. was thinking about those brothers and sisters. I'd been doing some reading, and I've read about them a long time ago, but just even of late, about that Azusa Street. You know, when the Holy Spirit came into those brothers and sisters and visited them, and that fire caught. And it was a wonderful thing. And some of that you really can trace back and brought over to the Kansas City and to the Missouri meetings and all of that, that brought on the wonderful Word of God into Brother Copley and all. And you can trace that through there. You really can. And you know what? Those were people that were just despised. Probably even kicked out of churches and different things. Oh, you believe too much. Huh? That's what they told Brother Copley. Oh, you just believe too much. Well, Brother Hill, we'll give you this place if you'll just quit preaching about that bridal stuff. You can preach about being saved. Well, you know what? Even that infilling of the Holy Spirit, let's just leave that alone because it causes a lot of division as well, too. And then where does it end? Then it would even have gone back probably to say, well, quit preaching that salvation stuff because that excludes many that think that there's other ways to God. That's as silly as it gets. That's as stupid as it is. Sin begets sin. But from faith to faith to faith, and from glory to glory to glory. You see what springs from that? And you see what springs from sin. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about those brothers and sisters there. And again, some of the prejudices that we've had throughout our country and that are in our country at this time. And I was reading about some of the mighty women that were behind that. A lot of people don't understand that as well, too. And that Azusa movement, it was the women. And it really was. Not trying to garner points here, brothers. I'm just telling you facts. But it was the women. African-American women. Large, heavy African-American women. So let's just lay it all out there. All the prejudices that are out there. Come on now. And that's what God chose. That was the magnificent vessel that God brought that through. A boldness that said, you know what? I don't care. I'm in Jesus. It transformed me. And maybe out of your ignorance someday it'll transform you too. God, is He a God that looks at the outside? No. He looks at the heart. It's all He's interested in. It's all He's interested in. Praise God. Oh, let's be a vessel for Him. And again, like I say, whether it was Brother Moody or Brother Copley. But it goes on to say that no flesh should glory in His presence. And praise God, He is our glory. Revelation 21:11, as we allow Him to be our glory, it says there that the bride has the very glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ. We are one in Him, Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We had sermons on those, and I just appreciate how Brother Copley brought it out. The wisdom of God produced a righteousness for man, is what he said. And it's true. There was a plan. And the righteousness for man is found only in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. He's become righteousness for me. He was made righteousness for me. And again, in believing in Jesus Christ, we come into the point that we have that justification. And that justification makes us righteous before God. Hallelujah. We're holy. And now that I am holy, now that I am just, the Word of God tells me that now I have even an opportunity, I can have the ability through Him to walk in this promise, to be set apart to Him. And sanctification is yielding. It's yielding to His enabling. That He has set me apart to Him. That He brings me into Him. And praise God, that helps me and separates me and assists me in doing that. Because apart from God, I realize that I'm helpless. And then finally in that sanctification, I understand that I'm redeemed. And praise God, He has redeemed me now. And someday, Lord willing, He's going to redeem me right out of this earth. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have. Everything in Him. How endless could that verse be? How much could we go over that? But again, those are some of the points I appreciate our sweet Brother Copley brought out. But that according as it is written, and as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, He is our glory. There's only one thing to glory in, it's Him. He's your head. He's your everything. That work you're going to go to tomorrow, God willing, I want to do it heartily unto the Lord. I want to work and honor Him. I don't want to just give eye service to my master. All of those things. But that work's not what defines you. That next dollar that you make isn't going to be, well, that's my notch in my belt and that's what makes me great. Glory in Him. Glory in Him. Oh, glory in Him. Praise God. He's your God. And He loves you. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for this evening. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for bringing it to us. And Lord, help it to work effectually in us through believing You. As we go our separate ways this evening, just give us the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let us know that You're thinking of us, that You're pleased. Because without faith, it's impossible to please You. And again, by Your grace tonight, we have been rightfully dividing the Word of God. We have been in the Word of God. And we know that hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, is what increases our faith. We thank You for this time. We thank You for that promise. We give You the praise and glory forever. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.